Luke chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned on to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. We'll finish in verse 11. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight. I want to, as I mentioned on the Lord's Day morning, continue with our theme of the church as the body of Christ, and especially tonight with the theme of partners in the cause of the Saviour. If you look at verse 7 and then again in verse 10, you have the word partners there. They beckoned on to their partners which were in the other ship. And then verse 10 also, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Men who worked together in the cause of the Saviour. And it's that general theme that I want to draw our attention to tonight before we get to prayer. So with our passage, the Word of God open before us, this passage open before us, let's just unite our hearts in prayer again. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word tonight. We bless Thee for the Saviour. What seems so impossible to us is gloriously possible to Christ. We thank Thee that when there is nothing and we have Christ's intervention, then we can expect a blessing. And Father, we pray tonight that Thou will come and bless our souls, prepare our hearts for our season of prayer. May there be that unity amongst us as we have known in past nights. And Lord, grant it to be so again tonight, we pray. Touch our hearts now and put Thy word into my mouth. And Lord, bless the meditation of our hearts and the words of our lips. And abide with us throughout the remainder of this meeting. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Luke chapter 5 opens with a very distinct note of disappointment. Peter and some of the other fishermen had toiled all night but had returned to the shore with nothing for their labours. Although they had fished at the right time, although they had used tried and trusted methods, although these men had been greatly successful on previous trips, their efforts that night had been in vain. I don't know how often that would have happened to these experienced fishermen, but undoubtedly when it did happen, it brought the greatest disappointment to them. I think the reference in verse 2 to them having gone out of their boats and starting to wash their nets indicates that these men had already given up for the day. They were finished. They were ready just to go home. But as they took care of their nets, they could never have imagined that within a very short space of time, their situation was going to be completely reversed. Luke chapter 5 goes on to record how that Christ called those men to launch out into the deep and let down their nets for a draught. It was a very strange command. But Peter laid aside his own notions. He laid aside his own disappointments, his own judgment, and sailed further from the shore. And as verse 5 puts it, at the word of Christ, he let down his net. And within minutes, that net that Peter let down into the deeper water was at breaking point. As Luke 5 puts it, these men had enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And as a result of the intervention of Christ, that disappointment and that discouragement was turned to delight. Failure was turned to success. Loss was turned into gain. Toiling in vain was turned into toiling in triumph. And that morning Christ had made a tremendous difference in the life and the labours of those men. As I look at Luke chapter 5 and this remarkable incident in the lives of these men, surely there are a number of very simple truths regarding the work of Jesus Christ. Notice here, just before we come to the very verse we want to look at tonight, notice that faithful service does not always produce immediate results. The disciples' failure to catch fish that night was not due to any lack of effort on their part. They had toiled all night. That's what Peter says in verse 5. He answered Christ and said, "Master, we have toiled all the night." And that word toil literally means to work hard. It carries the idea of being weary, of feeling fatigued. They had given this their very best. They had not been idle out there on the sea. They had not used unusual or untested methods. They had not been reckless or careless in their approach to this particular fishing expedition. They had tried. They had tried with all their might, and yet it seemed to be in vain. Their efforts had not met with immediate success. But the problem was not with the fishermen. The problem was not with their efforts, it was not with their service. Very often a similar situation arises in the work of God. We labour, we look for results, but they don't come. At least they don't come when we expect them to come. And they don't come in the manner in which we would like them to come. But that doesn't mean that we are labouring wrong. These men had labored, they had toiled, they had put all their effort into this, and yet they had gained nothing. They had sown much to change the picture. They had sown much but taken little. But their service at that time was good. But I want you to notice also here that there is an inherent blessing in listening to and fellowshipping with Christ in the midst of our disappointments. Look carefully at verse 3. These men have come back to shore, they've gone out of their boats, they're washing their nets, and the Saviour comes and he enters into one of those boats and he asks that Simon would thrust out a little from the land, and Christ sat down and taught the people out of the ship. The Lord Jesus turned one of those boats into a pulpit and he began to speak to the people. But the point I want you to see here is that the disciples were there in that great company of people. It's obvious from what follows that those men heard Christ speak. They did not go home. They did not leave the shore. But they were there as Christ was speaking. And as Christ was speaking, that was no small benefit to those disciples. Those men could have gone home. But they stayed to listen to the Savior. If they couldn't catch fish, they at least could learn from the Lord. When disappointments come, when discouragements come, what should we do? We should take time with the Lord. When things are not going the way we would like them to go, when discouragements come and our expectations are not realized, in whatever aspect of life that happens to be, let's still take time with the Lord. Let's take time to listen, to read His Word, and to listen to His Word. And take time to drink in what Christ has to say to us. Furthermore, you'll notice here that obedience to Christ will be richly repaid. In verse 4, the Savior says to Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." It's a very strange command. These men had fished all night, they'd taken nothing. Yet here's the Savior asking them, commanding them to go out again and to launch out and to let down their nets again. Strange command. Christ was not a fisherman. Joseph was a carpenter. And yet here he was commanding these fishermen to launch out and let down their nets. Unusual. And yet Peter obeyed it. And as a result of him obeying Christ, in verse 6 we read that they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Obedience to Christ will always be richly repaid. Always richly repaid. Notice furthermore that rich blessings are sometimes much closer than we imagine. Sometimes much closer than we imagine. those disciples could never have imagined when they brought their boats into the shore at the end of the night. They could never have imagined that within a few hours, and not very far from shore, that they would come to the stage where their nets would begin to break. But that blessing that they had been looking for, that catch that they had been expecting and out looking for, was much closer than they expected. And who can tell tonight, but perhaps the blessing of God is much closer than we expect. Having toiled, prayed, and looked for revival, perhaps Satan comes with the thought, it's never going to happen. It's not going to happen for a long time. But who can tell, perhaps the blessings of revival are much, much closer than we dare to imagine. And you'll notice also that when these men brought in the fish, the blessings that they received from Christ filled them with the greatest adoration for him. It speaks of that in verse 7 through to verse 9. Simon Peter sees what takes place. He falls down at Christ's knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And they're astonished. And they're filled with the greatest adoration, the greatest admiration for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are vital things for us to know. Just sitting there on the surface of this passage, things that ought to encourage our hearts, strengthen us in our service for God, things that ought to inspire us to go on and to serve the Lord. But there's another aspect to this incident, an aspect that's very often overlooked by commentators, very often overlooked by preachers too, and it's the aspect of the importance of partnership in the work of God. When Peter began to haul in his net there in verse 6, he realized his need of immediate help. He beckoned to his friends, to his partners in the other boat, to come and work with him. And together, that's a very key word, together they were able to bring the catch safely to land. He called on his partners, and those men came, and in partnership with Peter, they enjoyed the blessing of the Lord. And that part of the episode, that part of this passage of Scripture, provides very important lessons for the Church of Jesus Christ. We are to be fishers of men. We are to make it our business to win souls to Christ. We are, in the words of the hymn that sometimes we sing, we are to rescue the perishing. And we are to care for the dying. We are to be busy in the Master's service. But that's not the work of one man. That's not the work of one group. It's the work of all. We are partners in Christian service. That's how the church ought to function. That's how the body of Christ ought to function. It's not one member of our bodies acting in isolation to another member. But it's our bodies working together, and as it is physically, so it ought to be spiritually. The members of the body of Christ ought to work together in partnership in the cause of Christ. It's not the only place in Scripture that particular truth emerges. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul reminds the Christians in Corinth that they were laborers together with God. In Romans chapter 15, he exhorted those who were there to strive together in prayer for him. In Psalm 133, we are to dwell together in unity. And that's the truth that we've been stressing over the past number of weeks, that we are members of one body, we are subjects of one kingdom, soldiers in one army, servants of one master. Let's face this tonight, the work of God goes forward best when God's people are united. And you have that thought here. The net was breaking. The call goes out, "Come and help us." And they go and they fill the nets, working together in partnership. And that's the theme that we want to consider tonight very quickly. Notice, first of all, there is in this passage an important activity. An important activity. Peter's work on that sea was neither vain nor worthless. His occupation was a very important part of Eastern life. It was a work that involved diligence, involved great determination, a work that required patience and persistence, a work that demanded skill and strength and some measure of steadfastness. For fishing in those days was neither a useless or an unnecessary task. But it wasn't only Peter's livelihood. This was a very important part of Jewish life. There was, where the temple was situated, a fish gate, where the people would have brought the fish into the city of Jerusalem. So this matter of fishing was a very vital part of Jewish life. But Peter's work of fishing is nothing in comparison to our work with souls. Fishing for men is one of the greatest responsibilities a Christian has. It's one of the greatest responsibilities of a church, to seek to win souls to Jesus Christ. We're not to be so taken up with ourselves, with our own finances, with our own business, with our own recreation, with our own politics, with our own comforts, with our own position in life, with our own possessions, our own pleasures, that we have no interest in the well-being of sinners. This ought to be one of the greatest aims, the greatest ambitions of the church, bringing and winning souls to the Lord Jesus. It must rank as one of the most important activities that we could ever engage in. Now that's what comes out of this passage. Notice this was an activity that was commanded by Christ. Peter and the other fishermen had stopped for the day. They had made a decision to leave it there and really not to go out again at that particular time. But that was not Christ's will. Look very carefully at verse 4. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. There are two things there. There's a precept. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. There's a precept, a command. But there's also a promise. Let down your nets for a draught. It was Christ's will for those men to go again. It was as if he was saying to them, there are fish there. That's what he means when he says, let down your nets for a draught. There are fish there. Do not give up. Do not stop. Do not go home without having those fish being caught. Go and find. Go again. So he commands them to go with this promise that they would catch. They would be successful. It's exactly how it is in the gospel. Exactly how it is in the gospel. Remember Christ's great words of commission? Going into all the world and preach the gospel. He goes on then to speak of those who would be baptized, indicating that those who would hear the gospel would receive the gospel, would be taught of Christ and become true disciples and followers of him. He gives a promise after he gives the precept. He gives an encouragement after he gives an exhortation. If you turn to Acts chapter 18, you find something similar. Paul is coming to the city of Corinth, and as he stands looking over that city, he is afraid. He has real fear. And he has fear because Paul knows that Corinth was a very sinful place. The name Corinth became a byword for vileness and wickedness and vice. Someone called you a Corinthian, they were not complimenting you. It was a very strong term. There's all kinds of associations with it. And as Paul stood looking over that city, he was afraid. What was he going to say? How was he going to make an inroads in that particular place? How would the gospel ever be successful in such a wicked city? Look at verse 9. Then said the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. Now there you see his precept, be not afraid but speak. Hold not thy peace. Paul, you're to go to that city. You're to go there as a fisher of men. You're to go there as a preacher of the gospel. And following the precept, he gives a promise, for I have much people in that city. And therefore Paul's activity in Corinth was of extreme importance. Christ commanded it, just as he commands us to be fishers of men. He commands us to seek to win the lost to himself. That makes this an important activity. This is not something we can just cast to the side. Something we can ignore and say, well, it's for someone else. Christ commands us to be involved in this matter of seeking souls for him. Notice also that this was an activity that was to be pursued despite the present disappointments. No doubt those men were weary. Their fishing had been fruitless. Yet they were to continue. Their efforts throughout the night had been in vain. They had toiled and taken nothing. You can almost sense the sense of disappointment in Peter's voice. Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. But the barrenness of that night was not to be used as an excuse for inactivity now at the command of Christ. And you notice that Peter doesn't make it an excuse, because he goes on to say, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Is there not a gospel application for us there? These are barren times. These are times of great difficulty in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's not much evidence of a great revival in the country or in the nation at large. People are hard. It's more and more difficult for folk to come into church. Sometimes even amongst God's people, it's difficult to break new ground. It's difficult to find folk who are interested in even speaking about the gospel. We're in barren times. The church is in a barren season. We're thankful for small mercies, but let's be honest, the tide has gone out. What are we to do? We are to go and go and go again. Despite the disappointments, despite the discouragements, these men were commanded to go again. Reminds me of Jeremiah. There was a point in Jeremiah's ministry where he came to the place where he said, I'm not going to prophesy again. I'm not going to preach again. He had preached, and it seemed as if his words had fallen just to the ground. And he resolved he would stop it. And as he waited upon God, the word of God was as a fire in his bones. And he could not forbear. He had to go again and preach the word. And this activity of winning souls is all the more important when we're in barren times. All the more important when we find ourselves in times of dearth and hardness and difficulty. Just as it was here in Luke chapter 5. It was an activity also that was very urgent. This was a word for the moment. There was no time for these men to waste. If you look at verse 4 and read it with that thought in mind, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And if you just pick out those two phrases, launch out and let down, as if Christ is urging speedy action here. No time to waste. He wants these men to launch out immediately. He has just finished preaching and he wants them to go. It's a pressing matter that they get out there and let down their nets. It's a pressing matter for the Church of Christ to be involved in evangelism. Just think of the sin that abounds, the moral mess of society, the dreadful state of things, the souls that are perishing around us, the sickness that's coming, the diseases that are coming, that are sweeping people into eternity. We haven't time to waste. It's time to launch out. It's time to let down the net. Notice something else. This command came with the assurance that Christ would be with his people in the work. In verse 3, it's obvious that Christ entered into Simon Peter's boat. And then in verse 4, he tells them to launch out into the deep. And then in verse 11, we discover that they brought their ships to land and they forsook all and they followed him. This whole event takes place with Christ in the boat. Christ in Peter's vessel. It says in verse 8, when Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Christ is with his disciples here. He hasn't told them to launch out into the deep and let down their nets while he's standing on the shore. The Lord is with them. And doesn't he promise us the very same thing? I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. If we serve Christ, if we engage ourselves in this important activity, if the Church of Jesus Christ launches out in its evangelism, in its service for God, then Christ will be there. Because he has promised to be. And we can rely upon that. Here's a work that was vital. A work that was extremely important, and it's no different for the Church. We can't afford to be slack here. Can't afford to be careless in this matter. Working for the Master in seeking to bring souls to Christ is the work of all works. It's an important activity. Notice secondly the invaluable assistance. As Peter was obeying the command of Christ, he discovered that this work was too great for one person, too great for one crew. Look at verse 7. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And notice in verse 7 very carefully there that they realized that they were not sufficient for this work. It was going to overwhelm them. There was just too much for them to do. And so they called for their friends to help them. That was not a sign of weakness. It wasn't that Peter was a poor fisherman, just couldn't cope with this. It was just that what had happened was so vast, so great, that he recognized this work was too great for him. And so he called for his partners to help him. And look at their response in verse 7. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. They beckoned on to the others, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came. And they came and they filled both the ships. God's work is a vast work. It's not the work of one man. It's not the work of a small group of men. We need help in the work of God. This is a work for every child of God. And when these men were called to help, it says in verse 7, and they came. They came. In other words, the other disciples came alongside and they worked alongside Peter to bring in the fish. Remember Nehemiah? When he went to Jerusalem and surveyed the city throughout the night, and those few men with him. And then he came back. He didn't tell them what was in his heart until he returned back to where he had started that journey. And then he told them. He told them the burden that was upon his heart. And those men had a mind to work. And they worked alongside Nehemiah. That's how it ought to be in the work of God. The people of God need to work together in the cause of the gospel. Remember Paul, the Macedonian call, come over and help us. That's similar to what you have here, that they should come and help them. When Paul heard that call, he went, he responded to it, and he labored there in the gospel. That's how it ought to be with us. We ought not to get to the place where we say, well, that's for so and so to do. That's something that's for them and for them only. The work of God goes on best when we work together. Notice that these other fishermen were ready to help because of a shared interest. Peter's work was their work. They were all fishermen. They were all fishermen. It speaks in verse 7 that they were in the other ship. They had already gone out of their ship. But now they were back in their ship. And it may be that when Christ said in verse 4, launch out into the deep, that these men launched out also. That they were there. It may be that they went because Christ was in Peter's ship and they wanted to be where Christ was. But they were there in the other ship because of this shared interest. Undoubtedly they would have heard the Savior say, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And it may be these men wanted to share in that blessing. So they're there, and when the call comes out, come and help us, they're there to help. Because of a shared interest. Is it not our shared interest tonight? Not just one or two, but of us all. We long to be fishers of men. We long to see the work of God go forward. We long to see the house of God filled. People anxious to hear the gospel. People being invited to come to hear the word of God. That's our shared interest. And let's all assist in this particular work. Notice also they're ready to help without delay and without criticism. There's no charge leveled against Peter. Why did you not let down your nets, Peter, instead of just one? They did not say, well, Peter, the Lord commanded you to go forth, but you look after this yourself. There was no jealousy. There was no bitterness. There was no envy. There was no party spirit among these men. They went immediately. Sometimes personalities come into play. Sometimes bitterness can come into play. Sometimes all kinds of jealousies, all kinds of personal ambitions and personal attitudes can take over. But there was a pressing need that day. And when the call went out, come and help us. The response was immediate, and the response was gracious. They came and filled both the ships. Notice these men were ready to help, and thus they learned something more of the power of Christ. What an experience it was for these fishermen. It speaks in verse 8 that when Peter saw this, he fell down at Christ's knees. He was astonished, and all that were with him. I take that verse to mean all that were with Peter in his own boat. Because look at verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So the men in Peter's boat were astonished. But so were James and John in the other boat. And as they had helped out in this matter, they were astonished at what Christ had done. And they learned something more of the power of the Savior. They gave valuable assistance. There was a work for them to do, and they worked in partnership with these other men. There is something for every Christian to do in this work and more. Something for every Christian. We come to think about our Sunday school. It's not just the teachers who are involved there. Every Christian can get involved. Every Christian can be seeking out little children to bring to Sunday school. When it comes to the children's work, it's not just that band of workers that gather Wednesday by Wednesday. You can pray for them. You can seek to win others and bring others into the meeting. When it comes to the outreach work, it's not just Noel's responsibility to knock the doors. We can all take a handful of tracts and throughout the day, throughout the week, wherever we are, seek to win others to Christ. This work is vast. It's more than the work of one or two or three or four men. It's the work of every child of God. That's surely the lesson of verse 7. The net was beginning to break. They were in danger of losing something that was very precious. So they called for men to come and help. And we have responsibilities, even in regard to our regular Sunday services. When's the last time we ask somebody into a Sunday evening service. Let's be honest. When's the last time we said, there's somebody I need to ask in? There's someone I'll go and bring in with me. Do we just leave it to see who comes, who doesn't come, and lament over the empty seats? But that's as far as it goes. We're workers together here. It's partnership. The work was going on. This blessing from the Lord had been given, and they worked together. May that be true of us as well. There's an incredible achievement in verse 7 too. They beckoned on to their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Both boats began to sink. But they brought the catch to land. Look at verse 11. The ships did not sink. Because it says, and they brought their ships to land, and they forsook all and followed him. They brought the catch to the shore. Those men, Peter and his crew, and James and John, and the men with him, with them, they had a part in saving the catch. What a joy that must have been. Just to have some part and seeing that catch saved. Every Christian can have a part in seeing the blessing of God. Notice also there that those who shared in the work shared in the blessing. Those who shared in the work shared in the blessing. They helped. Their partners came. They helped. They filled both the ships. Both the ships. I have no experience with fishing at all. Apart from standing with a rod, and that doesn't usually work very well either. But I was talking to a fisherman recently, and he told me of some of the larger boats that are out for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And one boat caught so many fish that they just couldn't keep them. So they called a sister vessel over and just pumped them out of the net while they were still in the water into the other boat. So both boats were filled at one go. That's what's happening here. They filled both boats that they began to sink. Those who helped shared in the blessing too. And of course, they were enabled to adore Christ. They were led on with Christ. Look at verse 11. They forsook all and they followed him. Such was the amazement, the astonishment of what had taken place at that time. These men surrendered everything and followed Christ. Their obedience to the Savior, their helping out at this time of great need, was used mightily to lead them on with the Lord. Is that not our ambition tonight, to be led on with the Lord? And let's give ourselves to the Lord's work. It's one sure way to know the Lord's blessing. To give ourselves in some measure to God's work. Partnership in the cause of Jesus Christ. May that be true here. I'm thankful that in many ways it is true here already. Let it be increased. Let it be intensified. Let's see the work of God go forward for Jesus' sake. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight in the Savior's name.